December the 9th, 2009. Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 108. And within that series, we also have the shorter series, Obedience to God or Man, in which this would be Lesson Number 20, the two being running concurrently as the same series within a series. Yesterday was bitter cold. 12 degrees when we left the house to take my wife to the bus stop. The people put out down near Lakewood, Washington, from the entrance way of McCord Air Force Base where the procession began, to the Tacoma Dome, where the memorial service was held. Thousands of people stood on the street corner. I looked at the TV last night in amazement. Tacoma Dome packed with people. These were the people that couldn't get in. 10 days ago, on a Sunday morning, Sergeant Mark Ranger, Officers Terry Griswold, Rod Owens, and Gregory Richards were shot to death as they sat in a coffee shop working at their laptops. They were assassinated under a vicious attack as cruel but on a smaller level. It was December 7, 1941, when the Japanese surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. They began at 9 a.m. at McCord Air Force Base, where law enforcement from more than 370 agencies mustered to begin a sober 10.3-mile drive to the arena. 2,000 vehicles long, the procession called. It would take until 2 p.m. for the last car finally to arrive at the Tacoma Dome, an hour after the original memorial service was scheduled to start. By this time, the temperature hovered in the 20s at McCord Air Force Base. An Air Force sergeant in his blue dress uniform stood at attention unflinching for 3 hours and 15 minutes until the final car left the base. Sergeant Chad Gurr, quoted the newspaper, saying, "It was what I felt I needed to do." At least two of these four officers were told, I'm told, the information sent to me by forwarded to me, that originally started with Randy Winter, who's in law enforcement, who is the son of Pastor Will Winter of Brookings, Oregon. I've known Will and Claire for many years as parents. Randy's sisters, John and Jamie. Jamie's husband, David, recently met Jan's two children at a Thanksgiving Day dinner. Was at Randy's wedding. Randy sent information to his parents that was eventually forwarded on to me that stated that two of the people were born again believers in Jesus Christ. The small was so small that Pastor Gordon Scherer, who trained under Will Winter and under Pastor Rob Brown, who's the brother of Claire Winter, when Ralph headed up the FSC Theological Seminary in Brookings, Oregon, was the pastor at that time of the Grace Bible Church that Will Winter has been the pastor of now for some 29 years, succeeding his brother-in-law, and having worked with him prior to that. Gordon went to school with the mother of Terry Griswold. We dedicate this class to the memory of these four law enforcement officers, and also the law enforcement officer who was assassinated in Seattle, Washington a few weeks ago, whose name I do not have in front of me at this moment. Lord knows it. I apologize that I did not write it down. To remind you of the price of freedom. One of those officers courageously fought with the assassin. Wounded and later killed, but he got off some shots and actually wounded the man. It's an interesting thing. Sunday morning, people getting ready for church. Four people on duty. Shot down in cold blood. Why? Because they represent the curse that is upon the Adamic human race. They represent what happens. The courage with a one law enforcement officer fighting with him. One of them, I understand, jumped in front of two of the, after two of the others were shot, and jumped up trying to, two of them never had a chance. The one with an old training, the training was a friend of the United States Army, number one ranger, was shot dead at the chair before he ever did anything. According to the reports. We look around us to see what's going on in the world around us. The world around us of Senate evil didn't begin with 9/11, as some people think. It didn't disappear on 9/12. No. It goes back even before Adam's original sin. It goes back to the angelic conflict, to the spiritual warfare that occurred in the dispensation of the sons of El when Lucifer rebelled against God. When man was brought into it, Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, as we saw in the last class. He was tested, I believe, past the law of individuality. And fell in the law of marriage when he agreed to follow his wife into sin. But because he was responsible as the federal head over all over the race, as the patriarch of the race, when he committed the act of sin, acquiescing to the desires of his own wife, he made a volitional decision that brought down the race, because the authority began and ended with him, not with his wife. Scripture teaches that she was deceived, but he knew exactly what he was doing. I'm putting in this powerful silent prayer to you, trying to make sure you know the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity in the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We realize that we are living in today in some of the most evil times. Our perspective, because everything is accelerated so greatly. And yet we know that each day brings us closer to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We sanctify and bless this Bible class in Christ's name and make it a blessing to those who study it. Amen. Adam sinned. We saw in the last class that Adam's original sin was included in the Father's divine decree, Isaiah 46, 9, and 10. We also saw that the Father did not force Adam to sin, James 1, 13, and 14, because he doesn't tempt anyone to sin. Adam's body was created out of the dust of the earth. We saw Genesis 2, 7, 8. But God created his soul and spirit out of nothing, Genesis 2, 7b. Adam was created a trichotomous person. He possessed a human spirit, a human soul, a human body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Adam was the original patriarch of the entire Adamic human race. He was chosen by God, the dispensation of Alpha, to head up the race. He will be recognized as a unique person. Yes, he sinned, Genesis 3, 6, and 7. This is where we left off. Genesis 3, 6, and 7, reading from the New American Standard Translation. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. We hit that passage with 1 Timothy 2:14. Remind them of these things, and so I may charge them. I'm sorry. We're in 2 Timothy. I want 1 Timothy 2. My apology. 1 Timothy 2. 14. Right, verse 13 for context. For it was Adam who was first created, and Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell in the transgression. And yet, 6,000 years later, we're still reaping the ramifications of a sin. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For since man came, death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Verse 21, for if Adam all die, so also in Christ also be made alive. And Adam all die. We're all born spiritually dead in Adam. We're conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Romans 5:12 tells us. That wasn't Romans 5:12. That was from Psalm 51. Romans 5:12 tells us these words. Therefore, just as through one man sinned and into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Yes, for 930 years, Adam personally reaped what he sowed, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, this we will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Life in the kingdom of Eden was easy. He just decided what he wanted to eat and went out and got it. Genesis 2, 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may eat freely. Yes, he worked. Genesis 2, 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. However, his work did not cause mental stress or physical weakness. He had a perfect, sinless body, so he could not become tired or depressed when he suffered banishment from the kingdom, Genesis 3, 23 and 24. And therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out of the east of the Garden of Eden. He stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. When he suffered banishment from the kingdom, life became a hard struggle for his farmer to keep food on the table, Genesis 3, 17 and 19. And Adam said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I command you, say, you shall eat from it, cursed is the ground. Because of you in toil, you shall eat of it in all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants to fill. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Adam also suffered then the mental stress of having a full experiential understanding of what he had lost. Sin collects his toll. Well, I want you to think about this. Adam went out of the garden, and for 930 years he had to live with the reality of what he threw away, what he had lost. Do you ever have anything that you've lost that you think back about? I think back and see many failures in my life, many things I did wrong, many poor decisions that I made in life. The older we get, sometimes the more we retrospect backwards, I think. I think this prepares us as believers for the coming of the judgment seat of Christ, perhaps the unbeliever for the white throne judgment. Without the love and the guilt, Phillies, don't misunderstand me. We realize that we are sinless, perfect, and we are not sinless, perfect. We are sinners saved by grace. Adam was sinless, perfect, till he sinned. He lost his sinless perfection, which was an innocent. We have experiential sanctification. We're set apart. We can be to God positionally, so we have positional sanctification from the moment of salvation, experiential sanctification when we're filled with the Spirit. Progressive sanctification is the ongoing of learning how to think like God. Post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation, which we remove scar tissue from the right bank of the soul and learn to think like God from a spiritual perspective versus a human perspective of life. But sin takes its toll. Sin takes its toll on the physical body. These bodies are deteriorating, as one lady said to me many years ago, Mrs. Clark, over at the Women's Servicemen Center about 1988. And we're out in 89. These bodies are deteriorating right on God's timetable. Adam had to suffer the mental stress of having experiential understanding of what he lost, of sin collecting its toll. Adam had ruled over a kingdom, but he was not ruled over a group of people. I want you to listen carefully to what I get to say. Adam had ruled over a kingdom, but he was not ruled over a group of people. We need to understand the difference between a nation and a formal government. We need to understand the difference between a national entity and its individual citizens. The Abrahamic covenant made Adam the appointed prince ruler over the earth, Genesis 1, 28 to 30. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you, and every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. What we have here then is the concept that man was placed in authority under the sun, in a kingdom, the rulership of Adam. Well, originally it was just over the animal world because he had no one with him, then over his wife Eve in a respectable way, as we will see in a moment. We need to understand the difference between a national entity and an individual citizen. We need to understand the difference between a nation and a formal government. The Adamic covenant made Adam the appointed first ruler over the earth. The capital of his world government was the Kingdom of Eden, Genesis 2, 7. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The problem is getting people to understand nations for what they are. Governments and concepts of what they are. A nation is an organic part of a culture. It expressed by its life and development a certain inner possibility of the culture soul. A nation is never independent of the culture, and this condition of dependence is shown by the expression we call the Zeitgeist, a German word meaning the spirit of the philosophy of the age. It has long been recognized by the thinkers and men of action that there are certain things which simply must be done. Others which simply cannot be done during a certain age. One man may not agree with these things with his intellect, but he must observe them. The Zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, is a phase of development of culture. It subjects all nations to it, since each nation has its own character, and since each age has its own step, it follows that one nation may be more adapted to one given age than another. As we look back at history, we see the uniqueness of the Germanic Empire, known as the Holy Roman Empire, from 1050 to 1250. We see the uniqueness of, we could call this the Germanic Age of that period, the Spanish Age then of 1500 to 1650. We look at the French Rocca of 1650 to 1750. As Dumas has described so well, his whole in-depth series that he covered of French history at that time. The English Age, which began in 1750 and ran to 1900, or the Anglo-Saxon, as some call it. We can't exactly call Anglo-Saxon because the Franks, who were also Germanic people, conquered the Anglo-Saxons, the Anglo-Saxon government, which had been created by the Angles and the Saxons coming together to combine out and conquer the Jews in England, are assimilating them into their society. When the framework of its own subjection to the culture, the nation idea compels everything in its realm to submit to its force. Thus, each Western nation has its own type of social behavior, its own articulate society shape, sharp and clear. We see a very variances between England, Prussia, Spain. We look at France and Italy and see the vague nobles. The religiosity of England differed from that of Spain, and both from Germany. England became the religion of the Anglican Church, which was just a slightly reformed version of Catholicism. So it had did raise up some pretty good Bible teachers and linguists. But the independent Church of England was always smaller. They produced some great Puritan divines. Great Baptist theologian John Gill and others. Germany became steeped in the Arminian traditions of Lutheranism, though. Spain was dominated by the Jesuit society. The orientation of economics is different in each nation. The economic trend became the strongest in England. It has been pointed out by the philosopher that even in the field of erotic, the nations are differentiated in France as the nation that developed the most elaborate culture related to sexual activity, and yet the Netherlands became the land of sexual debauchery with the legalization of drugs, marijuana shops on the open streets, the prostitution shops and things that made it the decadent center of Europe and still remains so to this day. At once it had some great Bible teachers in it. Of course, it was a home to believers in Jesus Christ. It had impact. My wife comes of Holland extraction. My friend Corny Vanderbilt is from 1947 on, spent so many years in Holland and the Netherlands preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet the nation has followed a different philosophy than that of other European countries even. So it was distinctively national. So it was drama, so it was architects, so it was even music. Sweden became a nation of pacifism and neutrality during World War II. The Nobel Peace Prize, started by the man who invented dynamite, has become a historical joke today. Given to control the actions of people and encourage them to move forward in directions in other countries. The arrogance of those who issue it. Philosophy did not escape nationalization. The two greatest Western schools of the English Sensualist School, 1600-1900, the German Idealist School, 1650-1950. Italy is the home of the Pope. Papal Center of the Vatican. The Vatican, actually a separate country. A country that up until the early 1980s we refused to send an ambassador to recognize because it is a religious empire state ruled over by the papal king called the Pope. Not anti-Catholicism, just the development and reality of what exists there. He sits upon the throne and rules over the Vatican, which is a country which we have an ambassador to today. Spain is an entirely different way of life under the domination of the Jesuit society. In fact, in the inner religious wars, including bloody wars at times within the internal perspective of Catholicism, you had, they call the leader of the Jesuit society, the general of the order there was known as the Black Pope. Contrast to the white Pope, the Pope in Rome. Spain took its own twist even within Catholicism. Reformed theology. Calvin began in Switzerland with the Frenchman. Versus French Catholicism, which was more politicalized system. Richelieu. Ruled France with as much power as King Louis XIII had at the same time. As the Prime Minister of France, as a cardinal in the Roman Catholic Church, but each with their own twist. And the Cromwell of Protestantism rose in the Reformed Church movement, and Protestantism and separation from the Anglican version. And where it was began to develop with independent churches also. Out of the Puritan movement. Great men have arisen in various nations that express national qualities of high potential. Richelieu in France. The Duke of Richelieu, Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Wallenstein, we can name others. If you look instead of the oil paint is between 1550 and 1850 in the Western world. The nationality of a painter can be depicted by those who understand art by looking at the painting and they know and find who paints it, they'll immediately know the nationality. It's thus easy to understand how materialism could convince itself that nations were the creations of culture instead of seeing the fact that it's the reverse. Now listen to me carefully. Culture begins in faith and mysticism with the thought world and its action world more subject to self-evident order and authority. It develops along the path of increasing intelligentsia until it reaches the cassette of rationalism. Intellect frees itself entirely from faith and instincts, analyzes, disintegrates, and mobilizes everything in the very last stage of a late civilization. It gathers itself once more together, asserting its own unity by impressing all forms of life with a final form, which returns once more to symbolic authority and mysticism in its origin. The biography of the culture is traceable in every life form found within the nations. The study of the rise and fall, I'm sorry, the decline of the West by Oswald Spengler. The philosophical concepts of the culture of history can be seen and the pattern can be written without these things to understand it. A nation has a cultural concept behind it. The cultural concept behind the nation of Eden was that there is one God and that God is the creator God and has a direct relationship to his created being who was Adam. The social variation began, so Adam ruled over a kingdom. It began with only himself. The kingdom was based upon a geographical location. It was based upon the language that Adam spoke. So he communicated with his creator God first and then with his wife. So we need to understand the difference between a national entity and individual citizens. The capital of the worldwide government then was the kingdom of Eden, Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and made man a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. He ruled over a geographical location and had authority to utilize all plants, animals, birds, and sea life for his own benefit. Remember, the Father designed man to be a social creature, Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. He was given the opportunity to utilize his volition and choose a pet over a human companion. He found no animal that would satisfy the desire for human companionship, Genesis 2:20. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and every beast of the field, but Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. If we were to fully understand the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living, the codices for national government, we must have a clear, concise, and just conception of man as a social being. The Father gave Eve to Adam to be his wife and companion, Genesis 2:21-25. Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman in the rib which he had taken from the man and brought it to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Verse 24 emphasizes the complete identification of two personalities in marriage. The passage tells us that God instituted marriage and it was to be monogamous, heterosexual, and a complete union of the two persons. Jesus added that it was to be permanent in Mark 10:7-9. Cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh, and consequently they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. In the house of the disciple will begin questioning him about this again. A man needs a helpmate. Now remember this, and what God is doing, and what God's plan is. The Father gave Eve to Adam to be his wife and his companion, but she was also subject to his authority as the son's appointed prince ruler over the earth. Go back to Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish and the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living creature thing that moves on the earth." Adam was given rulership authority. The Father designed government for good, Romans 13. I missed the turnaround point for the tapes. Let me repeat what I just said. Pick up here and read back from one of my notes. The Edenic covenant made Adam the appointed prince ruler over the earth, Genesis 1:28-30. The capital of his worldwide government was the Kingdom of Eden, Genesis 2:8. He ruled over geographical location and authority to utilize all plants, animals, birds, and sea life for his own benefit. However, the Father designed man to be a social creature, Genesis 2:18. He was given the opportunity to utilize his volition and choose a pet over a human companion. He found an animal that would satisfy the desire for human companionship, Genesis 2:20. Pets can't cut it, I don't care what anybody says. If we have to fully understand the law of the divine establishment for temporal living, Codice's financial government, we must have a clear, concise, and just concept of man as a social being. The Father gave Eve to Adam to be his wife and companion, Genesis 2:21-25. But she was also subject to his authority as the son's appointed prince ruler over the earth, Genesis 1:28. God had set up a federal system with Adam at the top. The Father designed government for good, Romans 13:1-5. Let every person be subject to the government authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those whom exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority is opposed to the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Will is not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Was a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for he is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Government was created for good, but sin has put a curse upon that, and we will see that. So now, you have two systems of government that exist, the government that God designed for good and the government that exists, as we will see, under the satanic system. This is the coming down of the heritage of the Sethic line of client nations and the Canaanic line of satanic nations. I'm very thankful to Pastor Carl Neal of Bakersfield, California, for some of the initial work on this that got me really going on the subject. Bible teacher I've known for many, many years now. The Father is the author of order and of stability and not the author of chaos and confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. Do not be deceived. I'm sorry, that's 15, my Bible. I looked the wrong way with my eyes there and thought I was in 14 and I was in 15:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Adam was designed to fulfill all of Eve's soul needs, and Eve was designed to be the completion of all of Adam's soul needs, as well as the body needs of both of them. Genesis 2:24. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Ephesians 5:31. Ephesians 5:31, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jeremiah 31:22b. 31:22b. The Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. This is a picture of sexual intercourse. Sorry if that happens to be a click in the tape there. For the recorder's not working right this morning. I can't get the click out of it, even though I've stopped it there several times. The two of them could experience human love and human companionship. Adam could find temporal soul satisfaction in his marriage and in his work, Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which has been given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life and in your toil, in which you have labored under the sun. The father designed Eve to walk beside Adam and not behind him. Eve was deceived by Satan, but she still had a part in Adam's original sin, though. Genesis 3:1-6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the man, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any of the tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the trees in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die, for God knows in the day you eat from it that your eyes will be open and you will be as God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it the fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves lawn coverings. Put this with 1 Timothy 2:13-14. For it was Adam who was first created in Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell into the transgression. The next verse, by the way, is very distorted, misunderstood, but woman shall preserve through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and serenity with self-restraint. Speaks to the woman that in the pain of childbearing, the woman is reminded of the curse and the need for salvation and the Redeemer, who is Christ. Eve, like all of us, was lost because of the son of Adam, who was the prince regent, was the federal head of the race. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "In Adam all die." Romans 5:12 tells us, "Therefore, just as through one man sinned into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to men because all have sinned." Adam's original sin produced immediate spiritual death and guaranteed him eventual physical death. Genesis 2:17. "But for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not die, for the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." With chapter 5, verse 5, "So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." First came spiritual death on the day of original sin, and then he physically died 930 years after he sinned. Time did not count for Adam before sin, so the 930 years is from the point of sin, not from the point of creation. How long Adam was upon the earth, as we point out to you, we do not know before the fall. But he could not age. He had no problems. No sins. Adam's sin. All also produced temporal life ramifications. Adam lost his prince regent crown and was banished from the kingdom of Eden, Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. He was sentenced to a lifestyle of mental and physical hard work, which has passed on the entire Adamic race, Genesis 3, 17 and 19. But to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I command you, say, you shall eat from it, curses the ground because of you, its toil. You shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles as it grow in you, and you shall eat the plants of the field, but the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. So you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. He was also sentenced to multiple births, childbearing, and to the pain of sufferings that would go with it. Genesis 3, 16a. The woman said, I will greatly multiply your pain and childbearing and pain. You shall bring forth children. Multiple births were a part of Eve's direct sentence, but apparently only because became only a potential to the future generations. She was also given an insatiable need in her soul to be married and submit to leadership by tyranny of her husband. Verse 16b. And your desire shall be to your husband, he shall rule over you. This insatiable soul need was passed on to every female member of the Adamic human race. 1 Timothy 2, 15. The woman shall persevere through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. After the original fall, Adam was given authority as the patriarch of the family, and therefore the race, Genesis 5, 1-5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named himself. The days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. God the Father had appointed every father to take the role of leadership and primary responsibility for his family. Genesis 18:19. For I have chosen him and Adam that he may command his children in his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, in order that the Lord may bring Abraham what is spoken about him. You can look up Deuteronomy 4, 9, 6, 7, and 20, Psalm 78, 4, Proverbs 19, 18, 22, 6, 29, 17, Colossians 3, 21, Ephesians 6, 4. The husband is given the authority in the home over the wife and children. The wife is to power the husband's leadership, but he too has a major responsibility during the children's minority years. Genesis 4, 1. The man had a relationship with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. The wife has the responsibility under the husband in the home. The husband is not to be a tyrant. He has no authority to be a tyrant. He has no authority to abuse his wife. He has no authority to abuse his children. In fact, the passage in Ephesians specifically relating to the children lets the father know what he's supposed to do there in Ephesians 5. So we better look at that verse for just a moment, just to clarify our situation here. Ephesians 5. sorry, it should be Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We read in verse 4, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The responsibility is there. The wife is to follow the husband's leadership, but she too has a major responsibility to the children that are to you. Genesis 4:1, put that with Proverbs 31, the entire chapter. Each of us had a sole need of social interaction, and the Father designed the family to be the focal point of all social interaction. Approximately 9 months after the fall, the first children were born to Adam and Eve, and of course, with their interpretation, the curse of multiple births, the boy Eve would have both twins. Genesis 4, 1 and 2. And the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, "I've gotten a man child with the help of the Lord." And again she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the soil. So it does not say he had intercourse again, it just says she conceived, or she brought forth. The number of Jewish writers interpreted this part of the Jewish tradition, and many taught that both Cain and Abel had a twin sister who became their wife. We do not consider the rabbinical writings to be inspired as a logical deduction, and through the years have been accepted by a number of Bible teachers. From A.F. as after the fall of one until A.F. 129, the science of Scripture implies that Adam rules safely over his growing family. In A.F. 129, Cain rejected God, murdered Abel, and brought great division within Adam's family. Genesis 4, 3-17. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought forth an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. An offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought forth the firstling of his flock, their fat portion, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Alright, this implies that, first of all, that there was a place to bring an offering to. The type of offering already designated and taught. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well," notice the Lord is talking directly to this unbeliever, "if you do well, sin is crouching at the door, and it is desired for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, and Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. The Lord said to Cain, "Wherefore is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. I am my brother's keeper." And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You shall be a vagrant and a wanderer in the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, I have given me this day from the face of the ground, and my face I shall be hidden, and I shall be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and it shall come about that whoever finds me will kill me." So the Lord said to Cain, to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken to him sevenfold." The Lord appointed a sign for Cain, if any man found him and slay him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch, after the name of his son. This division would lead to the establishment of two systems of government, the client nation to God's kingdom of Seth, Genesis 4:25-5:32, and the satanic kingdom of Cain, Genesis 4:16-24. This brings us to understanding the two clusters of the angelic conflict. The next of this doctrine deals with certain personalities as source influences of cultural ideologies developed and practiced by God's creatures. First, the angels of prehistory, and second, the human beings. Cultural etymology refers to a body of ideas and traditions used to express a sense of value held by a group of people living in a citizen relation. Those ideas express the group's consensus of agreement as to their value. For example, the early cultural development of ideas among Adam's descendants saw a high value placed upon marriage, family, and community, which would eventually become nations. Moral values were extremely high in Adam's early descendants, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren under the way of Adam. You must understand, the word people describes a group which has become a sole unit, of an idea in the presence of a polarity of leader and led. The word is neutral as to the duration of such a group and inner strength in its intensity as its magnitude of its mission in life. A nation is a people and something more. It is more highly articulated. People can arise out of a culture. A nation cannot. A people may be a unit of short duration or inwardly weak. A nation is a lifespan and belongs to the strongest organic unities within a culture. With a word culture, we touch upon the hallmark of a nation. A nation is a people containing a cultural idea. When a high culture is born in the landscape after a gestation period of several generations, it works with mysterious effects upon the population of its area. Various names and groupings vanish into new spiritual unities. In the West around 1080, the names of Swabian, Frank, Lombard, Visigoth, Saxon became dead terms for practical purposes, and men began to fill themselves as German, Italians, Frenchmen, and Spaniards. Each of these groups is an idea. It is a vehicle of a certain part of the soul of the culture. It is a plane of existence, an aspect of the cultural spirit. This is the basis of the differences or similarities that they are creations of the same culture. The differences beget different racial rhythms and styles of thinking and doing. A different inner accent shapes the same general linguistic material in the various tongues. Each one of the expressions of a different soul. A separate soul reacts in distinct fashions to similar out experiences, and thus events also contribute their part in shaping the character of the nations that arise. To understand what a nation is, one must first entirely dissociate from his mind the connection so evident between nation, political unity, and language. To the era of rationalism and capitalism, these units were the very primordial material of history, but these nations were only expressions of a certain stage of the nation idea in Western history. You must understand that God created nations on the basis of geographical locations, racial family ties, and language. But behind this was a cultural aspect, and they would either go with the client nation concept and the influence of the Word of God, which is the Sethic culture, or they would go with the satanic culture, the influence of Satan appearing as an angel of light. Jesus expressed his perspective on in the times in which he lived, the first advent, by identifying the culture of Jerusalem as an evil generation. Matthew 12:39. He answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh that craves a sign, and yet no sign shall be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet." Now, the evil generation refers to a demonically controlled society under the direct influence of Satan as an angel of light. It manifests specific historical signs in all areas of the government and groups of people. An evil generation is the cosmic tree cultural manifestation of Satan's way of life. The evil generation manifests the cosmic viewpoint of a satanic world system. The whole world lieth in the wicked one, 1 John 5 teaches us. One of the signs that Jesus mentions has to do with mystic faith, trust, and healing miracles, which is supernatural interference with the negative circumstances of daily life. People are looking for a quick fix to their problems while ignoring the solutions presented by the way of Seth, as viewed in the daily ministry of the God-man. There is one spiritual culture and one three-part cosmic culture. The development of the cosmic culture in human history began under the will of Adam, Cosmic One. After a time, it changed to the way of Cain, cosmic 2. Eventually, descends to the level of cosmic 3, the way of demons. It turned into a generation of human customs, i.e., evil generation. Once the evil generation controls a community or a nation, God begins to restrain it for the purpose of control or order or the administration of free will. Satan is out on an appeal. The appeal is under a contract bond with God that limits what he is allowed to do. James 3:13, reading from the New American Standard. Who among you is wise, understanding, let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. Who among you is a wise believer? This is identification of the Seth, the culture which would become the Christ culture. Following the spiritual concepts, the spiritual concept of law as it relates in the codices to individuals, to marriage, to family, nationalism, because of a greater commitment to a spiritual law, to redemption in Christ. Didn't have to be spelled out for everybody in the progressive revelation. More light is given as God chose to give light. But God had a directive will and a permissive will. The permissive will is always involved with sin. The directive will is always involved with obeying God. All right. In the James chapter 3 we read, who is among you is wise and understanding? All right, wise understanding is a person endowed with practical insight. We have a nominative singular of E-P-I-S-T-E-M-O-N, insight in historical problems and their true solutions as a result of knowledge and illumination. It was demonstrated out of an animal manner of life, his inner production of the sphere of grace orientation, application of wisdom. It was learned to think and function for the wisdom of God. James 3:14. But if you have a bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. But if you have, and you do, the present active indicative of echo, E-C-H-O, meaning to possess, referring here to cosmic ideology in your frame of reference, bitter envy, Pikros, P-I-K-R-O-S plus Zelos, Z-E-L-O-S, anger, which seeks revenge against a neighbor based upon the sense that you have been insulted or deserve more than you receive. Our influence of greed, jealousy has developed, creating areas of hate, resentment, strife, or with the E-R-I-T-H-E-I, to look for a fight, or reasons to criticize or insult someone. Why not? Present mental imperative of Kakamai, K-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I, meaning to boast, to glorify yourself, and lie not against the truth. Present mental imperative of pseudo, P-S-E-U-D-O, to justify your error in the face of all truth. All right, present tense is continuous action. Mental voice participates in the action, imperative mood. It's the command. All lies are attacks on the truth. These are character traits seen in the three cosmic cultures. Alright, you have bitterness. Pikros, P-I-K-R-O-S, is a reference to uncontrolled emotions in Matthew 26:75 and Luke 22:62, which intensifies the problem of jealousy, Zelos, Z-E-L-O-S, in terms of relationship. Concept of an attitude of increasing anger toward God and our people. Zelos is described as an emotional enthusiasm, which is a thing of virtue when directed toward the word of, by the word of God, but when it is directed by greed or self-glory, is not virtuous. In James 3:14, it refers to enthusiasm for practicing ill will, jealousy, and revenge, which is motivated by greed for things God is not providing under his righteousness. This enthusiasm can be directed to honor a person by replacing him on a pedestal or to attack someone whom you have intensified resentment. This is an issue which you believe you must act upon. As a rule, you're not passive concerning it. An issue of great concern to the one experiencing zelos or enthusiasm for criticism and for bragging. intense enthusiasm, zeal, is the focus of Pikra's zelos, which is led to boasting and their self-gratification. This causes a continuous relationship between you and others in your peer group or community. Just people desire what others have, but they have modest the desire to gain it through integrity because they believe they have a right to it. This is part of the way of Cain or cosmic too. In their soul, they have a vacuum which the world of Adam used to exist. Moral integrity would give them insight into gaining what others enjoy through the use of the fruits of righteousness, James 3:18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You must keep in mind that the generations of Adam developed enthusiasm for guarantees in life which God had removed, or the doctrine of the curse, which we'll be studying in the next chapter of class. For the cosmic culture, there is a constant change because of nature of greed, the master sin, and insatiable hunger for what comes to be viewed as a need and a right. I will pick up here in the next chapter with the principal concept of the curse upon the establishment institutions and begin to see. You see, Adam had a nation, but the nation was a nation made up of him and Eve. First him and then him and Eve. So it was a simplified thing of a society. The society developed into a more formal government, but a curse created problems for all of it. Father, we thank you for teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise it will not return void, but accomplish.